breeze. I'm living in sweet Virginia breeze.
This is Louis Rogers, and welcome to The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. This is part two of my interview with Jacqueline Rogers. Jacqueline joins Capital Square as communications director. Capital Square has grown at such a rapid pace that we are working on things like, what do you call it, branding. What do you call all the things you're working on? Catchy buzzwords.
We are working on brand awareness, brand recognition. You've already gained brand equity in the 1031 space, but broadening that brand awareness to all of the many areas that Capital Square encompasses now, which is development, DSTs, 1031s, all of these things. You are standing for more now. You own more now than you ever have before. And as we grow and scale in not only the number of sales, but also in the number of people we have here, we need to make sure we have a very strong and ownable brand identity.
So you've been to see the development properties. Capital Square has a development division. We build buildings for opportunity zone funds and for other investments. What did you see?
I was able to see many very strong brands in the Scott's Collection space. Each one of them was so unique to their own identity and their visual.
This is radio.
Identity.
They can't see. You've got to put it in words.
Well, then I encourage you all to go down to Scott's Collection and see the brands for yourself. Take in the personality. Feel the vibes. And also invest in them and maybe live there.
Live there. That'd be
live
nice.
Live there.
How do you, so you have these buildings, they're inanimate objects. How do you make them feel like they're part of the same vibe?
Well, it's interesting because you, one, want them to have the same overarching vibe that ladders up to this overall umbrella, which is Scott's Collection, but also the Capital Square development brand. But each one of them does need their own unique identity so that they can have something ownable in the world, the market share. Each one of them should be a little bit of their own and have their own stamp and their own identity so that you can decide between which one of them is actually resonates more with you.
So they're all a little bit different, but they're part of the same whole.
Yes.
And they're part of the Scott's Edition vibe?
They are part of the Scott's Edition vibe. They have different tone of voice and different visual identity, but all of which is an extension of the Scott's Edition neighborhood. It all ladders up to that strategy to resonate more with the demographics of Scott's Edition. What people have grown to love so much about Scott's Edition is that it is unique and hip and edgy. I mean, this is the capital for all of culinary and food and beverage and drinks. And I mean, the energy that you feel in Scott's Edition, you feel through each one of Scott's Collection properties. And I think that's really, really important that the brand not only reflects what the overall strategy, but it also reflects the people who it's supposed to be reaching.
What do you call these things? Fancy brands? You had a nice name for it. Preferred brands? Or
preferred brands, luxury brands.
Luxury brands. What? I mean, we're in the real estate business. What the heck can we learn from luxury brands? A lot, I know.
You can learn a lot. And as I was saying, everything from the way that we're structuring each one of our brands, our brand pillars and our brand personality, all the way through to the way that we are going to organize and the lobbies and where everything, the organizational flow within these spaces. I think it's perfectly transferable from hotels, the hotel space, all the way through to your development.
Absolutely. I mean, it does remind me back when the last time things were really good and we stayed at a Ritz-Carlton a long time ago and I was wandering around looking lost and someone said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't really know where I'm going. Here, let me take you." But last night I was at the Atlanta airport. And somebody pointed me. They said, "Over there." And then when I ordered food, they slammed it down on the table. Versus somebody who ended up being the manager of the hotel said, "Oh, let me take you there now."
And that's part of the Ritz-Carlton brand personality. They pride themselves on being ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen.
It's wonderful. If we can instill that in the Capital Square business, an investor may have a small investment, but we want them to feel special, feel that we care and that it's meaningful for us and for them. So that's how we'll adopt some of those luxury brands. Fancy brands is kind of pejorative. I'm making fun of fancy pants brands, but they do a wonderful
premium
job.
Premium brands.
That's it.
Distinct brands.
That is it. And then we get to the big Megillah, the big one. The big one that begins with an A.
I think you're saying Amazon, but even before that, I was at Lyft. And I think it's important to
Lyft. Is that an elevator company?
This. Lyft is a rideshare company.
Didn't that go away during COVID?
Well, what made this, thankfully it did not, but what made Lyft such an interesting brand to work for was that it wasn't number one in the industry. They weren't first to market. They weren't number one in market share, but because of that, they were able to create a more unique and compelling brand, and quite honestly, a more likable brand to both riders and drivers.
Interesting.
It is. And no, thankfully, they did not go away during COVID, but rideshare was down 85% at one point. But because they had created such a likable brand and a space, the rideshare industry in general is so important to consumers and to the world these days, because they created that, it never went away, thankfully.
So that gives me an interesting thought. Before Richmond, you lived in?
New York City.
And what does Scott's Addition look like?
Brooklyn, New York City.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is.
How did you end up not living in Tribeca, New York? How did you end up in Richmond?
I spent nearly a decade in New York City, and I absolutely loved it. But I'm from Richmond, and I always wanted to come back to Richmond. And I didn't quite see a way to come back to Richmond, being that advertising, what I was doing, the Mecca is in New York City. And one of the ways I did that was to go to business school at the University of Virginia, Darden School of Business. It brought me back to Virginia. Unfortunately, COVID brought me back.
How did that change things in the city?
In New York City, terrible aftermath. But I hope for the city that it gets back to the beautiful, incredible city that we've fallen in love with and love to visit and love to live and more love to visit than live.
So you left Tribeca, New York, and all the boroughs and all the places that our receptionists have come from with their New York accents. And you ended up in Scott's Addition, and you felt right at home, basically?
Basically.
Felt right at home.
Yeah, I do. I think Scott's Addition is... And Richmond in general, I think, is a perfect...
You used to hate Richmond.
I had to leave Richmond and to understand the value of Richmond, to understand this community. It's a small community, which is beautiful. I absolutely love that. It took me going to the largest city in this country to have the respect and the desire to want to live in Richmond. And you know what? Richmond was not the same city when I left a decade ago to when I came back. Richmond...
It's different now.
Incredible place. There's so much culture, and a lot of that is because of schools like VCU and because of large companies here who are creative and have been able to transform this space, and because of companies like Capital Square.
And we've drawn a lot of people, Whit and Alex from Bethesda, Adam from DC, Natalie from San Francisco. I mean, you worked at Amazon, but you didn't work at Amazon. You worked remotely. And all these people are finding Richmond to be a more than a pleasant place. It's not very crowded relatively. It's not very expensive relatively. It's socially distant when we had COVID, and the club and bar scene, not too bad. Without offending anyone, I know you eat a lot of dinners, and drink a lot of these what do you call those things that you drink?
A lot of Moscow mules. A lot of spicy margaritas. A lot of wine.
Name some of the places. We had a dinner in Long Oven, and it was tiny food. It was deliciously little. But tell us about some of the other restaurants and bars and part of the scene that makes Scott's so cool.
I'm a huge fan of Long Oven. I think the food is incredible. And it seems like you're in New York City, but you're here in Richmond. And the chefs, oh gosh, it's like a beautiful, beautiful experience, not only in what you're eating, but I also like the energy and the vibe. And I think that's what Scott's Addition brings. We've got a lot of incredible restaurants. Right. You've got the Eat Restaurant Dragon, partners. Sure. You've got Fat Dragon and Lucky AF.
What else?
And we've got Lunch or Supper.
Brenner
Pass. Oh my goodness. I might have to run out there if they are open today. I might have to go get some food.
Well, we might just be able we can DoorDash or Uber eat some food, and Lyft never got food, right?
Lyft never got food, which if you ask me and nobody asked me, that would have been a massive portion of the business. It was a huge miss. They didn't want to move into that space like Uber did. Uber was able to own rideshare and own food delivery. Lyft wanted to stay true to their original brand, which is rideshare. In hindsight, I am sure everybody wishes that they had also taken over the food business, but can't reverse that now.
Okay, well, so you don't offend all of the other restaurants. Name a few more that you really like. And you just bought a house? So you're in the near West End. What do you call?
I just Grove bought a house in the West Hampton area near Libby and Grove. The neighborhood is called Glen Burnie, and it is adorable.
Adorable?
It's picturesque. It is an incredible community.
Is there any food
I can already
there?
Feel it. Yes, there's definitely food there. Another one of the Eat Restaurant locations, which is Beijing on Grove. They have
Beijing from Beijing 25
on Grove,
years ago.
And we also have Stella's.
Stella's
has multiple locations around
the
city.
Oh, the little Stella's that used to be the Starbucks. Imagine Starbucks gave up that location, and Stella's was happy to take it.
When there's many, I could go on for days on food and beverages.
Well, maybe we'll leave it at this. For our investors on the West Coast and Middle and East, please join us for a pub crawl in Scott's Addition to see your properties. And with that said, let's get to that big Magilla, the big Amazon in the sky. What has it been like working at Amazon, and what can we learn from such a phenomenally difficult and wonderfully challenging company?
Well, I think it's important to lay some groundwork on what I was doing at Amazon. I was originally brought in to work on their product design team, and you're probably asking, what is product design? And that's all about the customer experience, the user interface and user experience with the app and the website, making sure the customer is first, making sure that it's a seamless experience. And what Amazon has done so successfully is to put the customer first. That is the number one leadership principle, is the customer always comes first, and you work backwards from there. What does it mean to the customer? What does the customer need? And then from there, we can figure out the products, the features, and the way that we message these customers. And I think that's something that's very, very important to...
Interesting.
It is.
In various companies, we've had phrases like investors first.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're putting our customers or investors, we aim to put them first.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of overlap here between our strategy at reaching investors first and also Amazon's customers first. And so from there, My role has actually really expanded into something larger, and I was spearheading the organization's largest strategic initiative, and this was the development of a new Amazon Music global brand platform and design refresh. And so what I mean by that was
refresh.
Really diving into the Amazon brand architecture. What does this brand stand for? What are their brand? What is the brand truth, the product truth?
Architecture. It's not a building.
But in some ways, it's
a foundation. It has
it's a
frame.
Foundation. It's a platform. It's a foundation. It's actually quite similar to a building. You need to have these strong pillars that hold up your brand, that every part of your brand, every messaging, every advertisement, every form of your identity is ladders up to that brand platform and that the pillars and the architecture. And so I came in to help understand what that means for Amazon Music. What do they stand for? What do they want to say to people? What is that messaging? What is their positioning and their pillars and their personality? What is the brand personality?
An app has a personality?
Absolutely, of
it's
course
like a
it
pet
does.
Rock. You have to be really lonely to have an app for a pal.
And it's it's so important to do this because that ends up serving as the customer-facing expression for the organization for all of their brand campaigns. And if you don't know what you stand for internally, how will anybody else know what you stand for? Why would they choose your brand over the competitors if there's not a strong foundation?
I mean, it's an interesting discussion here at Capital Square with staff people. We specialize in tax advantage real estate investments. And basically, we're trying to help your parents save money for retirement by being smart with their taxes. A cynical view could say you're trying to help people avoid their taxes, which isn't true. We use the tax rules to create better returns, but it's really your mom and your dad. It's not billionaires. We have to work on our brand truth so it doesn't have the image of being elitist. We have thousands of regular folks next door like your neighbors, like your parents.
And I think one way that we can do that is through showing people that investments are not just for people who have a ton of money or have the ability or the training to invest, but for everyone. And I think financial literacy across Richmond and other areas is something that we want to invest in. We want to have a strong brand presence here in Richmond, and we want to increase our charitable footprint. And one of the initiatives is financial literacy.
And that's something we could do. We have lunch and learns all the time anyway. It would be very easy to, I mean, how many MBAs and masters do we have? A lot.
Quite a few.
Quite a few that could teach a finance class. Mm-hmm. And even you with an MBA could teach a finance class.
I'm all for it. And I think that really ladders up to our biggest opportunity, which is to build brand awareness at the local level right here in our backyard where it all started. We're building the future of Richmond. That's one of our big campaigns, is that we are building the future of Richmond. And what that means is that we need to be active participants in this community. And we're looking for those engagement points. We're looking to tap into the local market and increase our brand recognition, but also become ingrained in the culture. We need to help build Richmond, not only with our buildings, but also at the local level through initiatives like open space and green parks and financial literacy. These are areas, these are strategies that are going to become so ingrained in our brand identity. And at some point, hopefully, we will then become synonymous with Richmond.
You talked about pillars. Capital Square, we're 9 years old. We're starting to walk upright. We're not knuckle draggers anymore. We're soon to be a 10-year-old. We're going to have a big 10-year anniversary in the fall. And in terms of our pillars for success, I think more about sports. I've never worked at a big company. I'm a lawyer. Lawyers tend to work in, 12-hour days and behind closed doors and not big Amazon-type companies. So we have to bring in people like you with credentials to teach us business skills. But we also look at things like, take Coach John Wooden from UCLA. Unbelievable. He won 10 national championships at UCLA basketball, 7 in a row, and at one time, 88 consecutive games in a row. And he created his pillars. Let me get it right, because we've got Tony Bennett has a different version, and we've got Coach K has his version, but we're talking about pyramid. I'm getting them a little confused. Pyramid of success. In all of this winning, from 1940-something to 1970-something, the one thing Coach Wooden never talked about was a win. At the end of the game, he never said anything about win or loss. He always talked about giving the effort. He said, success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing you did your best to become the best that you're capable of becoming. And so if you did your best, he wouldn't talk to you about the wins and the losses. That's kind of amazing. And Coach K has his own version of his pillars for success. I guess you need something to think about as you're training. Tony Bennett's one of our favorites at UVA. I was researching him again and looked up the press release when he declined a pay raise. And pledged a lot of money to the program, and he said, I have more than I need. I don't need any more money. What's the last coach that said, I don't need any more money? Come on. And then the next season, the 10th season, he won the NCAA championship. Kind of amazing. Turning down a raise, putting money in the program to invest in his players. That shows his leadership. And what Tony Bennett says is he's trying to it's the same thing as Dr. Acock said, right? We're trying to bring out the best in every child. He said he's trying to teach his players how to be leaders. And then he says, you know, basketball career, you know, how long are you going to play? Most people are never going to play, but a few years. But the things that you learn in his program, will you can carry with you the rest of your life. So I'm kind of thinking we'll be a hybrid between some of the Amazon ideas, maybe some of the Coach K ideas, maybe some of the Tony Bennett ideas. Tony Bennett's are, it's funny, these are, he's from Wisconsin, and John Wooden was somewhere in the Midwest. I mean, these are real folksy Midwestern people. Number one is humility. Know who you are. I mean, I'm here to tell you we manage about $5 billion of money for other people. It's their money. They're counting on us for their retirement. If something goes wrong, I'm responsible, and I've got to make it. I'm not able to guarantee perfect results, but I can guarantee perfect effort. And there's 80 people here that will work through the night every night to make sure everything is working as best it can. So we do not have a big head. We are not billionaires. Our investors have money for their retirement. We need to protect it. Passion. We like what we do. It's a lot of fun. We're here being passionate. The third one's kind of interesting, unity. Mm-hmm. Do not divide our house. How many places have you been where there's some person that just is divisive? You know, you want to unify. You don't want to divide things. The fourth one's kind of a funny word for Tony Bennett, servanthood. Servanthood, make teammates better. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting one. That feels like it has kind of a little bit of a religious feel to it, to make people better around you. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is thankfulness. Learn from each circumstance. Tony Bennett had a really bad game. Remember a really bad game? Never lost.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County, I believe.
But then they won national championship.
They went and won the national championship.
So that's something to be thankful for. I remember before Capital Square, real estate was in trouble. We were in a recession. As a lawyer, my sponsor clients weren't doing well. And now that we're doing really well, I am really thankful. I appreciate every day. I appreciate every investor. I appreciate everything that the investors have done to give us these opportunities. And then just switching one more time, I know Bronco Mendenhall is no longer with us, but I loved what he said. And Tony Elliott says the exact same thing. Yes, take great athletes and make them into winners, but the real goal is to make them into great leaders and great men. Thank you for joining the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Invest locally, invest nationally, invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Thank you, Jacqueline. I look forward to seeing your excellent work as Communications Director.
Thank you for having me.
Living in the sweet Virginia breeze.
The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.
Living in the sweet Virginia.